The book of Daniel. I'm going to try to preach this morning. It's about to get thick in here. And that's all right. I like it. I like it like that. Mays Jackson said it was getting juicy. He said, I was over in the corner and he said, I was praying and God squeezed my heart and juice run out my eyes. Amen. It's about to get juicy in here. I like it like that. It'll be all right with me. Amen. Daniel chapter number 2. I just want to make known the Bible does say where the Spirit of the Lord is. He said the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty. So if you're here, I'm talking, speaking in English, all right, and you want to worship the Lord, you're at liberty to worship the Lord here. We're not putting bonds on people telling you what you can't do. Amen? I'm talking everything's to be done decent and in order. But if you want to testify, you testify. The altars, I just want to make this known. I've never really set no rules on this, but I want everybody to know that these altars up here, they don't get shut down. We don't have a time when it's not good to come. It's always good to come to the altar. Preaching, singing, offering, handshaking. If you need the altar's there. Amen? Amen. Just want y'all to know, we're not Methodists. We ain't against them. Well, maybe we are, but I ain't trying to preach on Methodists this morning. But hey, if the Lord puts it on your heart to go to the altar, if the Lord puts it on your heart to raise your hands and testify and praise the Lord, hey, that's what we're about. That's what we're here for. And so I just want to make that clear this morning. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Daniel, wow, chapter number 2. We'll begin reading in verse number 24. Daniel 2 in verse number 24. You find your place and say amen. Why don't you stand with me? And we'll read beginning in verse number 24. The Bible says, therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon, bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men and the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king, but there is a God in heaven. Amen. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king of to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes which shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. The image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, that were of iron and clay, and smote them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. Wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom, inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth, and the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in piece and in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of the iron, part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, we love you. We thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you, God, for being faithful. Thank you, God, for allowing us, Lord, to be here this morning. God, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, you touch me, your servant. I pray, God, you'd fill me with your Holy Ghost. I pray you'd help me this morning to preach, deliver the message, Lord, that you put in my heart for these people. I pray, God, speak to our hearts at this hour, Lord. Help us. We'll thank you and praise you for all you do. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I want to preach a message this morning on the dream of the ages. The dream of the ages. You know, there's a lot of things going on in the world in which we live. We could look at the current events. You could look at the storms all across the United States. Used to be. You didn't hear about tornadoes much in our parts on the eastern coast. You didn't hear about that. That was mostly a Midwest thing. Used to be earthquakes. You didn't hear them over here. Last year we had an earthquake. I'm just saying that rapidly things are changing. Current events change. Seems like every time you turn on the news, seems like something bad's happening. Seems like every time you turn around, somebody's getting shot, somebody's getting bad. Just a couple weeks ago, people was chewing people's faces off. I mean, and tearing people's insides out and throwing them at each other. I mean, just wickedness and crazy and vile things. Seems like there's a lot of things going on that we used to never would have dreamed about. Seems like the current events of our day. Seems like Israel, man. Seems like Israel's always in the news. Seems like somebody's always against Israel. Seems like Israel's facing all kinds of opposition. Seems like the Bible told us that was going to happen. Amen. Genesis chapter 12, I want to remind you that God said He's going to bless those that bless Israel, and He's going to curse those that curse Israel. That promise is still in the book, and it's in there to stay. Amen. But Israel's in the news, and our oppositions. It seems like, if you was in the news at all, you know that Iran has already publicly stated for the last several years that they want to annihilate Israel. They want to annihilate Israel. They don't want to be at peace with Israel. They want to control Israel and annihilate and kill the Jews. They want to do just like Hitler set out to do. And Iran, look up in here, I'm against Iran and everything they're for. Because Iran, I don't like a president that goes over and buddies up with Iran. Amen. Iran is against God's people and I'm against Iran. Iran wants to annihilate Israel. And just this past week, Egypt elected in a leader. And guess what his number one goal is? His number one goal is to conquer Israel. I'm telling you, what I'm trying to say is things are falling in line just where they ought to be. What I'm trying to say is the American economy is failing. It won't surprise me one day, even in our lifetime, if the American economy hits rock bottom. You better enjoy everything you got, your little luxury. You better enjoy it while you got it because, hey, it could end tomorrow. And let me just say, you that's going up on credit cards and living off credit cards, you better look out. They'll own you one of these days. You better pay them off and get rid of them. Hey, look up in here. This ain't a financial class, but you better pay them off and get rid of them. Hey, I'm telling you, the American economy can hit rock bottom today. And it's working on it. It's working its way. Hey, the American economy is failing. There's chaos worldwide. There's battles. There's wars. There's things going on. And in the midst of it all, in the last, say, 50 years or so, Europe has begun to resurge. I'm talking about in a time of instability, in a time of uncertainty, a time in which it seems like nobody knows what's going on. And we hear about things like the European common market. We hear about the European economical structure. We hear about the euro. Hello? Y'all talking about the American dollar is getting worse and worse. Somebody said the American dollar is not worth 30 or 40 cents. But hey, while the American dollar, hey, the euro's on the rise and the European economy and their common goals there, they're coming together. Luke 21 talked about how there was going to be a time of the Gentiles. The time of the Gentiles began with the captivity of Judah underneath this king Nebuchadnezzar that had this dream in Daniel chapter number 2. And during his days, the time of the Gentile began, and it's going to keep on going until the time Jesus Christ returns and sets up his kingdom right here on planet Earth. And here in Daniel chapter number 2, Nebuchadnezzar is given a dream. I said all these things. I give you these different things about the days in which we live and the current events and things because I want you to see that there's things are just falling into place. We live in times of uncertainty, times of instability. People are scared. Man, people are worried about what's going to happen. Is my 401k going to be there? Is my job going to be there? I mean, it seems like everything's changing daily, not just yearly, not just by the day, but by the days. It seems like things are changing nowadays. And we live in such a time of uncertainty. And it seems like even in the church house, people are scared. People are fearful. People are distraught. People are worried. And you know, the Bible still says we're not to worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow, take care of itself. Hey, we serve a God. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these other things, material things and things we think we need. He'll add them unto us, Matthew chapter number 6. And you need to understand that as Christians, we don't need to be worried. And so you look around and you see the wars, you see the chaos, you see what's going on. And let me just say this, as a human being, it's normal to be worried. It's normal to wonder what in the world's going to happen next. Because as you watch the news and as you see current events being unveiled in front of you, you wonder what could happen next. But I want to say, and I want to encourage you, church, this morning, from the Word of God, we can look into the pages of the Scriptures and we can know what's going to happen next. I want to say to you that we can know how history's going to unfold. Let me say, we can know what's on God's plan. We can know exactly, because we serve a God who's in control. We serve a God who's an almighty God. We serve a God who's, He's got wisdom. He's got the power. He's going to manifest Himself. He'll manifest just like He did in this dream to Nebuchadnezzar. He manifested His power, His wisdom, and His glory. And let me say, it's going to take place just like He's already got it planned. You might as well shake your head and go along with it because that's what's going to happen. And so I want us to look at this morning and I want to preach on the dream of the ages. If you go back in the beginning of Daniel chapter number 2, you'll see that Nebuchadnezzar has a dream and he's worried at night. There in verse number 3, he said, I have dreamed a dream and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. In other words, he had a dream and he woke up and he was troubled by what he saw in his dream. And then he goes and he tries to get his wise men. He tries to get those soothsayers and astrologers, those ones that he called wise men, and he asked them to come to him. They had tricked him before. They had lied to him before. He tries to get them to interpret the dream. But he says this. He said, I want you to interpret the dream. But he says, before you interpret the dream, he said, I want you to tell me the dream and then interpret it. In other words, he said, I'm not even going to tell you what you dreamed. What I dreamed, he said, but I want you to tell me. He said, if you can tell me what I dreamed, he said, I'll believe your interpretation. But if you can't tell me the dream, he said, I'll know you're lying. And so in the first part of the chapter, that's what's going on. And the men can't do it. They said nobody can do it. They said no one can do that. But Daniel hears about it because the king says what he's going to do is all these ones that claim to be these wise men, the king's going to have them put to death. He said, if you can't answer me, you can't give me an answer. He said, I'll just destroy you and put you out of my misery. He said, I'm going to kill you and destroy you. And Daniel hears about it. And Daniel comes up in verse number 14, and Daniel says, look, hey, I've got, some boys. He said, we'll get together and we'll pray. Daniel's verses there in 16 through 18, Daniel went in, desired of the king that he would give him time, and he would show him he said, and show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And then in verse 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. So we see here that God revealed what Nebuchadnezzar dreamed. He revealed it, what he saw in a vision, he revealed it to Daniel. And so we understand here that what Daniel is going to see and what Daniel is going to reveal to the king Nebuchadnezzar is a prophecy. And I'll show you this in just a little bit. He's going to reveal to him a prophecy from the time of Nebuchadnezzar all the way to the time that Jesus Christ returns to this earth and sets up his kingdom that's going to reign forever and ever. And so you need to understand this morning that when we look at this, basically Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and he saw in his dream the ages of mankind from his time unto eternity. He saw what was going to happen. God revealed it to him in a dream. And so I want to show you this morning as we look at this thing, the dream of the ages. I want you to notice that we do see in this dream and in this story, we see God's wisdom revealed, we see His power displayed, and we see His glory manifested in the life of Daniel. We see all these things. I want you to know that we serve a God that's in heaven. I want you to look with me in verse number 28. After all this trouble, I've tried to give you the background quickly, tried to run you up to what's going on when we get there. Daniel steps forward and says, "O king," he said, I can do this. I've got a God in heaven. He said he's going to do it. And so Daniel goes, and him and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they go to praying, and God reveals to Daniel what the king has dreamed. So look in verse 28. I want you to see number one this morning. I want you to see the revealer of the dream. The revealer of the dream. And by that, I mean we serve, watch it, the revealer of the dream is a providential sovereign God. A providential sovereign God. Look in verse number 28. Could you imagine? Now remember, the king, his spirit's troubled. He's upset. The men, the wise men, those that he tried to get to interpret, man, they're worried. They're thinking they're about to die. And then Daniel steps up and he starts praying and God reveals it to him. Look in verse 28. The Bible says in Daniel 2:28, but there is a God in heaven. I just want to stop this morning and just tell you, I don't know what you're troubled about this morning. I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know what you're facing, but I want to remind you, there is a God in heaven. I could preach a message off that one phrase right there. There is a God in heaven. When you face whatever you face tomorrow morning and it seems harder than you can bear, remind yourself, there is a God in heaven. When it seems like, hey, your family's falling apart, there is a God in heaven. When it seems like financially you can't make it, there is a God in heaven. When it seems like wickedness is all around you and it's getting worse and worse and you just don't know what to do, there is a God in heaven. When it seems like, hey, that the United States is crumbling at the core and it seems like it's not what it used to be, I want to remind you this morning, there is a God in heaven. And Daniel said that in verse 28, there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. I just want to remind you this morning, number one, there is a God in heaven. This revealer of the dream, the one who revealed to Daniel, Daniel said that he couldn't do it in his own. Look at verse 27. Daniel answered in the presence of the king, and he said, "The secret which the king has demanded cannot the wise men and the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king." He said, they can't do it. They can't reveal to the king what he dreamed. But he goes to the very next verse, and he says, "But there is a God in heaven, this God in heaven that revealeth secrets." He said, he's a revealer of the secret. He's all-knowing God. And watch it now. Only God could do such a thing. And that's what Daniel's trying to show us. Hey, only God can reveal to you, King Nebuchadnezzar, what you've dreamed. The revealer, you need to understand, the revealer of this dream is the God in heaven. God is in control. We see this in this story. We see this in Daniel's life here. God's in control and God's well aware of the events of mankind. Can I say to you this morning that when Iran stands up and they say that they want to take over Israel and annihilate it, when Egypt stands up and says they want to conquer Israel, can I say to you that God in heaven, He's not shook in one bit? Can I remind you, He's not caught off guard. I didn't plan for that. I wasn't expecting that. No, can I help you this morning? The God in heaven. There is a God in heaven, and He knows all about what's going on.
There's a God in heaven. He knows, watch it now, He knows who's got nuclear attacks. He knows who's got those bombs building them. He knows where they're at. He knows where they're hiding. He knows what's going on. He's not caught off. He knows about the United Nations. He knows about the Catholic Church. He knows about the European Common Market. He knows there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets. I like that. He's the God in heaven. He's an all-knowing God. He's an all-in-control God. And He maketh known to King Nebuchadnezzar what He say? What shall be in the latter days? What shall be in the latter days? In other words, somebody's wanting to know what the latter days is. I'm going to just try to hit this and explain it to you. The latter days began with the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again. The latter days began. And the latter days are going to continue until Jesus Christ returns again. Amen. Now, what am I saying, preacher? I'm saying this. We are in the latter of the latter days. Paul talked about how in the latter days, he said perilous times will come or shall come. Can I say perilous times are here? We're living in perilous times. We're living in times when men's hearts are filled with fear. We're living in times where people love pleasures more than they do God. We're living in those days. Perilous times are coming. But those latter times, man, I'm telling you, they're winding up. And I'm going to show you just in a minute, because I want you to not only think about the revealer of the dream. That's the God in heaven. We serve a God in heaven. And only God can reveal this dream. But number two, I want you to see the revelation of the dream. The revelation of the dream is a prophetic story. It's a prophetic story. Number one, we see some things through this prophecy in this dream. And I want to give you this thing that, number one, man is in decline, but God is doing just fine. I want you to remind you, man is in decline. Some people believe that man, since the inception of man, they would say, the humanists would say that since man evolved, and I would say hogwash because God created man. I'm going to say hogwash because God created man. Man did not evolve. Amen. I mean, the humanists would say once I was a tadpole long and thin, then I was a turtle with my tail tucked in, and then I was a monkey hanging from a tree, but now I'm a professor with my PhD. I mean, that's what the humanists want you to think. But I want to say hogwash, God created us. Amen. But they would say that since man's beginning, he's been getting better and better and better and better, and he's going to work his way into some type of utopia. Can I say how stupid can you be? God created Adam and Eve, and they were in a perfect society in the Garden of Eden, and they fell. They messed up. And guess what? They've been getting worse ever since. Amen, preacher. That's good preaching. Amen. Now, Daniel talked about in the last days, he talked about how in Daniel 12, he talked about men's going to be running to and fro. They're going to be increased with knowledge. That's the day in which we're living in. Man, you think about travel. You think about how people travel nowadays. Used to be for you to drive, you know, from here to Boone, that would have been considered a day's journey. But now, man, that's just, you know, that's nothing. Man, I know people that travel to California weekly for work. Just get on an airplane and the other side of the country. Come back at the end of the week. Man, I'm talking, we're going to and fro, man. Knowledge is increased, man. Computers and things like that. I'm just telling you, what I'm trying to get you to see this morning, this thing is wrapping up. This thing is getting, I'm not setting dates this morning. Look up in here. Nobody knows the days and the hour, but I'm going to try to show you something this morning. The revelation of the dream is a prophetic story. Man's in decline, but the God of heaven is doing just fine. History is right on time with prophecy. You're going to see that here in just a minute. History is right on time with prophecy. Because see what prophecy is? Prophecy is history before it happens. And history is prophecy that's being fulfilled. When God gives a prophecy, it's showing up going to happen. It's going to become history. But He's telling you what's going to happen before it ever happens. And that's what He's going to show Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel in this dream. The secret dream was the story of human history being foretold. And so if we look at this, I want to show you some things. And he starts out this dream in verse number 31. Daniel says, "Thou, O king," watch the Bible now. I'm not making this up. He says, "Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image." So he sees this great image, and he says, this image was so great, he said, whose brightness was excellent. And it stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. That word terrible, man, this thing was in the sense, it was like frightening and awesome. It was so majestic and awesome looking that it was terrible. It made him afraid, this dream that he saw, this image that he saw. It was a great image. Verse number 32, he says, the image's head was of fine gold, and his breast and his arms of silver, and his belly and his thighs of brass. Interesting. Well, if you go down to verse 38, he says something about it. He's giving the interpretation. And he says, and whereas the children of men dwell, and the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven had given into thine hand, and had made thee ruler over them, thou, he's talking to Nebuchadnezzar, thou art this head of gold. So we see some things. We go down through here. When we talk about, there's four things. There's the head of gold. There's the breast and arms of silver. There's the belly and the thighs of brass. And then there are the legs of iron that have on the bottom of them feet that are part clay and part iron. So I'm going to give you this to you in a hurry, but I'm going to show you this prophetic story laid out in this dream. Number one, I want you to see this this head of gold. He's done already told him. He said, thou art that head. Thou art this head of gold. And so the head of gold was the Babylonian Empire. And the Babylonian Empire started, bear with me now, I'll give you some of this. In 636 to 539 B.C., the Babylonian Empire, the Babylonians ruled. They took over and they ruled worldwide power there in that day. Nebuchadnezzar was the leader of it in 605 to 562 B.C. And then after, watch it, and that was the king. Matter of fact, that was the head of gold. Nebuchadnezzar was the world ruler in his day. And that's what Daniel said. He said, thou art that head. That's you, Nebuchadnezzar. But Nebuchadnezzar's full of pride. Y'all remember Daniel's story when God had to humble him? Nebuchadnezzar's full of pride. And God's showing him, look, you're on top right now, but you're going down. You get full of pride, full of yourself, you're going down. So he said, thou art the head of gold. But he said, after thee, verse 39, after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee. Inferior to thee. And that is the breast and the arms of silver. So after the Babylonian Empire, the Medes and the Persians came and they defeated and conquered the Babylonian Empire. And the Medes and the Persians were in rule from 539 B.C. to about 330, 333 B.C., somewhere right in there, under the leadership of Darius. But the Babylonian Empire was inferior to the Medo-Persian empire and kingdom was inferior to or weaker than the Babylonians. And it's seen here as this thing, as this statue goes down, it goes from gold, it goes to silver, it goes to brass, and it goes to iron, and iron with clay. And it's sown as top heavy. Gold's the most precious, would you not agree? Gold, but then as it gets down, as it goes down to the bottom, it works its way down to clay, the least valuable. Its value, its strength, it's deteriorating from the top to the bottom. This statue was top-heavy, if you will. And so, hey, it could just be destroyed. It could be turned over. And so we see this. And so the breast and the arms is a picture of the empire of the Medes and the Persians that were at rule after the Babylonian. But after the Medes and the Persians come along, the Grecian Empire. Anybody ever heard of Alexander the Great? Alexander the Great, youngest ruler, fastest ruler. Daniel chapter number 7 compares him to a leopard. He come in and he conquered in such a hurry. The world, man, he was on his rise and he died at a young age. But that's the belly and the thighs of brass. The belly and the thighs of brass, they are even more inferior than silver in value. But Alexander the Great took over and they were in rule from 330 to 63 B.C. And so all the first three, notice now with me, all of the first three kingdoms, every one of them were powerful. But they were able to be, and they were conquered from without. The Babylonians were conquered by the Medes. The Medes and the Persians were conquered by the Grecians. But then the Grecians were conquered by the Romans. And the Romans is what we see in the legs of iron and the feet. And so we see the legs of iron is the Roman Empire. It began at about 63 B.C. And in that time, it ran up to about 475 A.D. 475 A.D., we see that Roman Empire was never and has never been destroyed from without. Nobody ever conquered the Roman Empire. I'll tell you what happened to the Roman Empire. It did exactly what the United States is fixing to do. It destroyed itself from within. Roman Empire destroyed itself from within by things like excess of sex, excess of taxes, excess of entertainment. things like that, and the immorality and things like that ruined the Roman Empire. And so the Roman Empire, but can I say that even though the Roman Empire has been stalled, the Roman Empire has never completely died. The Roman Empire has become what you would call not an empire, but an heir. Can I say, today, even in the United States of America, we are heavily influenced by the Romans. If you don't believe me, go to the doctor, and when he prescribes you a medicine, read the medicine, read the prescription to see if you can read it. You can't read it. Guess what? It's written in Latin. Medical terms are all in Latin. The court systems which we are using in America, they're based off of, they're not exactly like that, but they're very much based off of the Roman system. Everything that we do in our society is very heavily influenced by the Romans. And we see this in the society in which we live. So here we are. We've got a head of gold. We've got the silver. Then we've got the brass. And then now we're down to the iron. And let me say, when Roman Empire took place, man, they were an iron empire. Man, they came in destroying, killing, taking over. Man, it seemed to be strong. But you know what happened? When it got down to here, it split. The Roman Empire split. There was an eastern division and there was the western division. You study history, you understand what I'm talking about. All of this is God prophesied before it ever happened. There was the eastern part of the Roman Empire. There was the Byzantinian or the western part of the Roman Empire. And so what I'm trying to show you this morning is God had it planned before it ever happened. This prophecy, hey, being given, that has now become history. But say, now here we are, the legs of iron. You say, man, who's going to destroy that? Nobody's destroyed that. Well, for a long time, the Roman Empire has been quiet. It's been died down. Over there in Europe, it's beginning to be revived. Can I say that's what God's showing us with those 10 toes and those feet? Those feet are mixed, they're clay and they're iron. They're still hooked to the feet. But not only are they going to be divided two times, but by the time Jesus Christ comes, they're going to be divided into 10 toes. And he said, not only are they going to be divided, but they're going to be in different directions, but they're going to be made out of different things. There's going to be clay, and there's going to be iron. It's going to be mixed up. Iron's still strong. Iron's a strong metal. Y'all with me? But clay's weak. Clay's about the weakest thing you can get as far as material. And he said there's going to be a mixture of clay and a mixture of iron. And so we're working our way down. Not only are we working our way down in value, not only are we working our way down in strength, but we're working our way down in unity. And so he's talking about in the end of time, he's working his way all the way from the time that Nebuchadnezzar was in rule. He was the head of gold. Are y'all with me? And then he's down to the toes. And that's, hey, right before the stone comes and crushes it. But let me say, in 1957, let me just give you this. In 1957, you started hearing things about the European common market. You've heard things about the European economy. And you've heard things about Europe on the resurge. Just go home and look up the European Common Market on the internet. I promise you, you'll have websites come up everywhere. You'll see things coming up. Let me say, iron is strong and it's durable, but clay is weak and it crumbles. And let me say that the world in which we live, Rome and empire, is beginning to be resurgent. The European Common Market, you'd be real surprised how closely related it is to the Catholic Church and that great whore in the book of Revelation that sits on seven cities and seven mountains. And let me say, look up in here. Hey, it's going to be all right because, hey, God's still in control. You'd be real surprised what's going to happen if you don't read the Bible. But if you read the Bible, it's like reading the newspaper before the news ever gets there. Amen. So everything in our world is influenced by the Romans today. From the medical languages, the court systems, laws, everything. We've got iron and clay. Have y'all ever known that in our day, it seems like they're signing treaties and pacts and contracts all the time? You know what they're worth? They ain't worth nothing but the paper they write them on most of the time. I mean, they write up a treaty, they write up a pact. Next thing you know, they're going against it, doing something else. Can I say they can break those treaties, they can break those pacts, those organizations can fail, banks fail. You know why? Because it's iron and clay. Man, when iron hooks to clay, how many of y'all welders? Anybody in here weld? You can't weld clay to iron, can you? There's nothing there that's going to connect. They don't have the same properties. You've got to have iron. You've got to have metal to hook to iron. Iron's got to hook to iron. Clay will mix in with clay. But when you go to join them together, you've got a weak link. You've got a weak joint there. You've got a problem. I'm going to tell you what, you've got division. And so here's what happens. You've got, at the end of time, God's given, man, it's amazing to me. Thousands of years, God's given Nebuchadnezzar a prophecy that we're seeing unveiled in our day. God shows him, man, he shows him the Babylonian Empire. He shows him the Medes and the Persians. He shows him the Grecian Empire. He shows him the Roman Empire. But he shows him this Roman era.
To where there's going to be, coming out of that Roman Empire, there's going to be 10 kings or 10 nations. And those 10 nations are going to be divided in different ways. They're going to be together. They're going to seem to be together, but they're going to be divided. There are going to be problems with them. And God shows all of that. Can I say that if you go over there in Europe now, there's a whole lot more countries than 10. But can I say, as we get closer and closer and closer, there's going to be more and more and more hidden up to where when Jesus Christ returns to this earth, there's going to be 10 that rise up. There's going to be 10. The Bible talks about the 10 and 10 horns. In Daniel chapter 7, he uses 10 horns, and one horn comes up out of the middle of them. That's the Antichrist. I'm telling you, hey, Daniel gives us the same prophecy in Daniel chapter 7, but he compares the kingdoms to a lion, a bear, a leopard, and a monster-like beast that has 10 horns with another little horn, and that little horn coming up is Antichrist. You know what Ronald Reagan said? Y'all remember Ronald Reagan? Ronald Reagan, God bless him. I wish he was still here today, amen. I wish he was still in office. Amen. Ronald Reagan, and I ain't apologizing for that. Ronald Reagan said in his day, he said, we are now living in the most dangerous time in the world's history. That's what Ronald Reagan said, man, probably 20 or 30 years ago. How much worse can it get? Man, you see all this thing. I'm telling you, one of these days, the Bible has prophesied it's going to happen. There's going to be a one world government. There's going to be a one world economy. There's going to be a one world religion. It's all, everybody, they're going to come together and seemingly they're going to all agree, but within them, man, it's going to be iron and clay. There's going to be division. It's going to crumble. You say, what's going to happen, preacher? What's going to happen? I'm telling you, hey, when you start hearing things about the Euro and the Europe, what I'm trying to get you to see is, hey, current events is prophecy being fulfilled. You need to understand, hey, when you hear about all these things, man, I remember when I was in high school, I think I was in the 9th grade, I went into a civics class, a human civics, whatever they call it, and I remember sitting in there, and that teacher started talking about the European common market, the first time I ever heard of it. Man, I wasn't even saved at the time, and it scared me to death. You know why it scared me? Man, because I'd been in church, and I'd heard about it. The one world government. I'd heard about the one world economy. I'd heard about how that was going to be taking place just before Jesus Christ comes back to this earth. And man, when I started hearing them talk about it in school, I thought, man, do they know what they're talking about? Can I say that they don't, some of them don't even realize what they're doing, but they are setting things in place. They are lining it right up for Antichrist to come up and be in power. They're setting it right in line, and here it comes, boom, boom, boom. And not only for Antichrist to rise up and be in power, but for Jesus Christ to come in power. And that leads me to the third place. Not only see the revealer of the dream, not only do you see the revelation of the dream, but I want you to see the resolution of the dream. Because see, the dream doesn't end. The dream does not end. I want you to see, the dream does not end with 10 toes. You with me? The dream does not end. There's a lot of people, that's where they get scared. We're living in a time when I'd say we're right up at the back of the toes. Man, we're about ready to see the toes coming out. I say we're right in that foot, we're right in that iron and that clay somewhere. That's where we're living historically. I wish I had a statue. I wish I had a picture. I've tried to figure out a way to get it up here this morning. But hey, we're not up here in the head of gold. We're not in the Babylonian Empire. We're not in the silver. We're not in the Medes and the Persians. We are not in the brass. We're sure enough ain't in the Alexander the Great state. And we're not even in the iron. But we're down there in the clay and the iron. And we're almost up to the toes to where we can almost see the 10 nations. That's going to be. And I'm telling you, just as sure, hey, what you say, well, how can you know that's going to happen? How can you know there's going to be 10? Hey, did it happen? Every point up till now has been just right on that. I'm going to tell you, it's history. It's keeping up with prophecy. But watch now, the resolution of the dream. But remember, there is a God in heaven. Y'all remember that? There is a God in heaven. Those ten kings show us division. They show us there's no great unity. They show up, man, treaties and pacts and organizations and banking systems and things. Hey, people rely on, they fall and they divide and they crumble. But look up in here. I want to help you this morning. Hey, though this world's empires and arrows are going to fall, I want to tell you there's a God in heaven. And I want to show you what He says right here in Daniel chapter number 2. If I can get back over there. Hey, the God in heaven is still in control. In verse number 34, He says, thou sawest, after, in verse 33, He gave the legs and iron, the feet, part of iron, part clay. Verse 34, thou sawest till that a stone was cut without hands. A stone was cut without hands, which smote the image upon the feet that were of iron and clay and break them into feet. Notice He didn't smite him in the head. Some people say, well, Jesus Christ has already came. No, hold on. This hasn't happened yet. This stone hasn't been yet. He didn't smite the image on his head. He didn't smite him in his chest. He didn't smite him in his hips. He didn't smite him in his leg. He's going to smite him where? In his feet. He's going to smite him upon his feet that were iron and clay. Break them to pieces. Verse 35. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold broken to pieces together, became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. What is this preacher? I'm going to show you here in just a second. What it is Jesus Christ coming, and when those ten toes are out, hey, those ten nations, those ten kings are out there trying to rule the world, Jesus Christ is going to come, and He's going to smite that image. He's going to crush it. Hey, the stone, hey, is going to crush the feet. And when I say when He does, the Bible says that the gold that's left, the iron that's left, the silver that's left, the clay that's left, all of that, He says it's going to become like chaff. In other words, in the chaff in the summer, it's going to blow away. It's going to be gone. It's going to be done away with. But He says the stone that smote them is going to become like a mountain. In other words, this is Jesus Christ setting up His kingdom. He's going to take over the world. He's going to be the King of kings, just like the Bible said. He's going to be the Lord of lords. And He's going to fill the whole earth with His kingdom. Jesus Christ is coming. The God of heaven's in control. He's going to destroy the kingdoms of this world. He's going to set up His own kingdom, and His kingdom will never, ever, ever end. I want to remind you this morning, Jesus Christ is coming. Man, I could go to many scriptures and show you Psalm 118, Isaiah 28, 1 Corinthians 10, 4. That rock was Christ. 1 Peter 2, 4. We're built on a lively stone. Now I'm trying to tell you, Jesus Christ is the rock of ages. Verse 44. Go back to the interpretation. He says, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. You notice He didn't say men were going to work and build a kingdom. He said the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands. Without hands, that means it's not human. No human could devise such a plan. No human brought about. Jesus Christ is virgin born. He's God in the flesh. He's not cut out with hands. Hey, only God could do such a work. And He says, in that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold. The great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And this dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is short. You don't have to wonder what's going on here. He's told you what it is. He says, the dream is certain, the interpretation is sure. So what's going to happen? I'm telling you, hey, nations are going to continue to crumble. We're going to continue to go downhill, and then there's going to be 10 European powers. There's going to be 10 nations that's going to rise up, 10 kings, and within them there's going to come up a little one, and He's going to say, I've got the answers. I've got the answers. Follow me, boys, and the world's going to follow Him. But hey, let me tell you something. When He thinks He's in control, and when the world thinks He's got His answers, there's going to come a stone cut out without hands. And that stone's coming, and He's going to crush the feet. He's going to crush this world's kingdom. He's going to crush those things you're living for. He's going to crush those things. He's going to disseminate
everlasting kingdom. He's going to set up the millennial kingdom that will win, one day be ushered up and become the everlasting kingdom. It's going to be the kingdom. Hey, the Bible says the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God. No need to fear, Christian. Let me say, this is not happening in a process, but this is happening with the fulfilling of a promise. This is not, well, if this happens, this might happen. No, look up in here. It's going to happen. I've already showed you. I've tried to take the time and teach you and show you. Give you some dates on it's already happening. You've already seen the fulfillment of probably 9/10 of this prophecy. Most of it's complete. If you're looking at the statue of an image of a person, and the head's here, and then the chest and the arms, then the abdomen, then the legs work down to the toe. Are y'all with me? They're from here to here. That's most of it. You with me? Ezekiel 38-39 talks about those countries, those nations that are going to be allied, they're going to come against, and the north are going to come down and invade Israel. Can I say they're already lining up? They're getting themselves together. Egypt's already said they're coming from the south. Egypt's already said they want to conquer Israel. Man, when I heard that in the news, I got excited. Because can I say to you, church, before that stone comes, before the king comes, the bride's coming. Can I say I'm glad he's the king, but I'm even more glad, that he's the bridegroom. And when the bridegroom comes, he's going to call the bride. And the bride's going to come up hither. And when the bride comes up hither, we're going to heaven to be with him. Hey, man, we won't be here for the 10 kings. We won't be here for the one little one. We won't be here. When he comes back and crushes the toes, I'll be with him. Revelation 19, I'll be on a white horse. We're coming in. He's like, man, some people say we're going to fight. We ain't going to raise a sword. He's going to speak a word and defeat them. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. I'm telling you this morning, it's the dream of the aged. Nebuchadnezzar saw a dream. You say, well, preacher, what about since 475? What about the Roman Empire? What about now? You know, when you study Old Testament prophecy of what Jesus Christ is going to do and what's going to happen, you find a truth in the Word of God. There was no church in the Old Testament. There was no church age. There was people of God, Israel. So when the Jewish prophets like Isaiah, Daniel, different ones, when they saw the prophecies, they saw the second coming of Jesus Christ. They didn't see the rapture. See, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, I show you a mystery. We should all sleep, but we should all be changed. He said, I'll show you a mystery. In other words, a mystery is something that hadn't been shown yet. Paul said, well, I'm showing you something new. The first mention of the rapture in the Word of God is John 14:3. He said, when I come, he said, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be up. That's the first mention of the rapture in the church or in the Bible. So when you see the Old Testament, you say, well, what about, right now? Daniel didn't see this. This was just like a bleep in the radar for him. It's a gap. If you're just looking from one mountain to the other mountain, sometimes you see the peaks of the mountains, but you can't see everything down in the valley. You with me? And that's the way the Old Testament prophets, when they saw the prophecies of the future, they didn't see the church down in the valley. They didn't see what was going on. They were just looking through to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So why say that, preacher? Because I want you to see. You think we're getting close to them 10 kings? You think the stone's about to come down? 7 years before that happens, there's going to be a trumpet blowing, and the bridegroom's going to call his bride. And when the bridegroom calls us out, you better be ready. You better be ready. So here's a question for you this morning. Let's say why, preacher. Why'd you go through all this? Let me ask you a question. Are you saved? Are you saved? 100% sure. Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you personally have
have met the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not asking if your mom and your dad, your grandma, no, I'm asking you personally. And I'm not asking you if you said a prayer. I'm asking you, has there ever been a time in your life when you realized you were lost? You realized you were on your way to hell? And God convicted you of your sin and you repented of your sin? Turn from your sin to God. Place your faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Ask Him to save you. Has there ever been a time when you were made a new creature? Are you saved? Let me say, don't wait too late. The stone is about to crush the feet. It could happen. Are you saved? And let me ask this question number two. Not only are you saved, Christians even, are you living for His kingdom? Or are you living to build your own kingdom? Let me say, there's a lot of people that are saved and they're on their way to heaven. But they're not seeking first the kingdom of God. There's a lot of preachers that are trying to build their own kingdom. What are you living for? Is what you're living for going to be crushed one of these days and crumbled? What kingdom are you living for? And number three, Christian, are you trusting the God of heaven or are you living in fear from day to day? Can I say, when we look into the Word of God, we read prophecies like what we've read this morning. We see this dream reveals the times and the ages of humankind. When we look into the Word of God and we see what God's taking place, there's no need for us to fear. We serve the God of heaven. I know the God of heaven. There is a God in heaven that reveals secrets. He showed us what's going to happen. And can I say, not only show us what has happened, He sent His only begotten Son to an old rugged cross 2,000 years ago so that you could be ready when the resolution takes place. There's going to be a resolution to this dream. This dream's not going to stand unfulfilled. Now, He's not going to go all the way from the head down to the ankles and into the feet and leave it all thin. Good neighbor, it's going to happen. You say, well, the European common market's going to get in power and they're going to do this and they're going to do that. They're going to go as far as God Almighty lets them go. You say, well, Iran and Egypt, they're all get together. And let me say, Russia. And all them nations over there, they're going to get together. Somebody says, well, the Soviet Union's dead. Hey, get your head out the sand. Right. They'll be back. Yeah. And when they come marching on Israel, what are they going to do? I'm telling you what, they're going to go as far as God lets them go.
Right.
And I'm telling you, they're going to think they got the kingdom. They're going to think they got all the answers. But I'm telling you, the stone's coming. The stone cut out without hands, Brother Wayne. Jesus Christ is coming. Say they've been preaching that for thousands of years. Peter said there's going to be scoffers in the last times. Hey, when somebody starts mocking and laughing, just look at him and say, hey, sir, you're another prophecy field. Yeah. Peter said in the last days, in the latter times, scoffers are going to come, saying, where is the promise of His coming? The promise of His coming is in His Word. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is coming. Are you ready? Are you ready? Hey, we've been shown. You don't have to guess. You don't have to guess what's going to happen. You might guess when it's going to happen, but you don't have to wonder about what's going to happen. Because right here it is. More up to date than CNN. More up to date than Fox News. Look up in here. If you want to know what's going to happen, right there it is. It ain't a matter of if. It's a matter of when. When God says go, it's gone. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I love You this morning. I thank You, God, for loving me. Thank You, God, for Your Word. God, I've tried my best to preach what You put in my heart. Lord, I really pray and hope that the people have understood and grasped the message this morning. God, I pray You'd speak to hearts and lives. Lord, I pray especially if there be anybody that's lost. God, I pray you'd help them to see that time's running out. God, help them to see that we're not promised tomorrow. God, I pray you'd help some Christians to realize that, Lord, the things they're living for, they're not eternal. The things that we value, Lord, one day are going to burn up. They're going to melt with fire. They're going to be crushed. God, help us, I pray, to be encouraged this morning. Know that as Christians, we can trust you. When we see the current events, when we see the storms, when we see the wars, when we see different things taking place in the news, God, help us to be encouraged to know that we serve the God of heaven and you've got it all in control. I'm thankful this morning that you're a God who's in control. I pray, God, you'd have control this morning, this invitation. God, I pray you'd work in hearts and lives. God, help us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, we're all across the auditorium.